We've been praying for this message and the messenger. Let us receive Elder William Liverman, of whom I'm so glad and so happy, his wife as well, and Elder Nickerson, to be working with in ministry. Elder William Liverman with the gospel of the grace of God. Let's say amen.
Amen. Thank God. It's a grace and peace. Amen. Grace and peace in the household of faith. Thank God. Let's be good. Prepare to go right into the Word of God. Amen. 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 Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His goodness. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Oh God, we just thank you for bringing us together one more time. Only by your wonderful grace are we here. No goodness, no effort on our part, but only because you enabled us to be here. Father, we ask that you would breathe upon your word today. Bless everyone here, Father. We know many of your people going through tests, trials, tribulations. Oh God, because you said in your word that all those in Christ shall suffer persecution. But thank God, we look on the other side. We know that we're free, we're delivered. Because you freed us, deliver us in eternity. Bless the word of God today. We move all flesh out the side. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. In every endeavor, bless the word of God today. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God for the word of God today. Oh, Lord. Isn't my heart bubbling when I see my mother Nettles there? Amen. Get a load of here, Mother Nettles. I tell you. I tell you. Mother Nettles, I tell you, what can we say? God is so good. Pamela came by the house yesterday, Mother Nettles, you know, me. I saw Mother Nettles out the car. I said, I'm trying to help. Come on, I'm trying to help Mother Nettles out the stairs. Pam said, Dad, leave Mother Nettles alone. She knew how to, she's okay. I tell you, Mother's all right. Thank God for that. And also, we thank God for Lord bringing our pastor home. Amen. Thank God. Give Lord a hand. Amen. 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 I was telling Sister Cutler, I was by the hospital Friday. I guess it was about 10 o'clock. And amen, because I wanted to see Pastor before he came home. So thank God. So as he continues to rest, we can continue to thank God for just his workings and his grace. Amen. Thank God. Now, one thing. It's interesting about the workings of God. When I was like 3 weeks ago, I had a document that I was just going to continue. But it was almost like after 3 weeks ago, I just couldn't get away from the word. I couldn't get away from the words. Kingdom message versus grace message. It's almost like it got stronger, stronger, and stronger. And the Lord confirmed it, because for those of you that were not in Bible class Wednesday, you missed a treat. Mm-hmm. What happened, I was led to start the session. In fact, everyone should have a document. Amen. Now, in fact, should be dividing them. Distinctly dividing the Gospels. Amen.
You should
have that. And so we had the Bible class. Amen. And we had a lot of questions and answers and a lot of questions. And it was going to 9 o'clock. We were still in Bible class. And we got home. In fact, Dick and Wallace told me he made a couple stops. It was going 10 o'clock. We got home. And people, nobody wanted to go home. So that just confirmed to me, amen, that we need to, what the pastor always say, teach and teach it more.
Amen.
In other words, the document distinctly defining the Gospels. Amen. This is going to go, we're going to finish this today, but we will begin. Because this is an area where many of God's people are struggling. They have not learned to differentiate the grace gospel church from the kingdom gospel. You have to differentiate these messages. And we're going to look at three scriptures as an intro to what we are purposing to do today. And again, we know in every topic, in every session, Jesus is always the topic, right? We'll focus on Jesus. And after we finish talking about Jesus, time to go home. Amen. But if I were to give this a subtopic today, I would call it the grace gospel versus the kingdom gospel. Not that they are against each other, because it's the Word of God. But the messages are different, church. The messages are different. Now, we're going to look at three verses, and then we're going to align these verses with some text in the Kingdom Gospel, because when you understand that these messages are different, it will bring liberation to your soul. Amen? But if you miss the name of the messages, it'll just cause just the opposite, total confusion. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Deacon Gavin is our reader. And then we'll be, if you can just kind of hold your fingers in these scriptures, because we're looking at three scriptures. One, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The other one, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. And the last one would be 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. I repeat, the three scriptures we're looking at today, 2 Timothy 2, 15, Philippians 1, 1 through 10, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, 11 through 16. Amen? I trust that everyone has that. At this time, Deacon Gavin is our reader. Deacon Gavin, do you have those?
Yes.
At this point, amen? You may begin. And we'll read verse 2:15. We'll read this in the King James and the Greek text.
Second Timothy chapter 2, beginning 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing. Paul tells Timothy that the word of God has to be rightly divided. Now, Deacon, why don't you read this in the Interlinear Greek text, please?
Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, from the Interlineal Greek text. Be eager thyself approved to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight the word of truth. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, the word of God, church, has to be rightly divided. Now, there is a reason why the word of God has to be rightly divided, and this is going to connect directly to, go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10.
Now, Philippians 1, verses 1 through 10, King James Version. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Now, for most of you have the King James, and I know your King James used the word that you may approve the things that are excellent. That's okay on the surface, but in order to understand the cogitation of what Paul is saying, you have to take this in the Greek text. Read verse 10 in the original Greek text, please. Verse 10.
Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, from the interlineal Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing.
The things different, church. Paul is telling Timothy that the things that God gave to me are different than the other parts of the Bible. We're not minimizing the other parts of the Bible, but again, you out the gate, you think it should be that the Word of God, those 14 epistles of Paul, are different. Now, the fact that they are different, in fact, when Deacon Gavin just read, rightly divided, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that is a aorist imperative in the active voice. It's a past completed command that you are to study to show thyself rightly divided the Word of truth. In other words, the Word of God has to be rightly divided because it is different. Now, there's a benefit of the Word of God being different. It has to be rightly divided. Why? The criteria is that it is different. Now, hold your hands there and go to 1 Timothy again. Paul's instructions to Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Elder Karen and I were discussing this verse yesterday, and I said, wow, a word just popped out in front of us, you know? It said, wow, that's it. This gospel is liberating. Amen. It's a liberating gospel. But church, you have to understand that the writings are different. And if God's people understand that they are different, then you won't be upset when it says, on one account, go and baptize, kingdom gospel, grace gospel, Christ sent me not to baptize. What? They are different. It's a different message. Now, go to, again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 16.
We're reading now from the book of 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning the 11th verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes to Timothy, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Mm-hmm.
Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
Mm-hmm.
Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16.
Focus on verse 16, church. Okay, Deacon.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Verse 16 reads again, church. Paul tells Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now we know from our gospel, Paul is not talking about, okay, if you study this, you'll be saved. No. We were saved when? In eternity. For by grace are you saved, through the faithfulness of Christ, not of your works, lest any man should boast. But we were saved in eternity. What Paul is saying here is that the reason that you need to divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenant, because if you do this, it will save yourself from a lot of confusion. If you don't divide it, you will be confused. So when you read the Bible, knowing that the words of God, the 14 epistles, are different, then you will have clarity to know that, number one, it'll save yourself from confusion. Now, why is there a lot of God's people, churches, church A fighting against church B? Church B fighting against Church C. They take one little word out of context and they fight over it. Why? Because number one, they don't understand that you cannot mix the messages. The Word of God has to be rightly divided according to dispensations and covenants. Now, we're going to analyze two or three areas that causes confusion today. Amen. You know, we start out in the King Grace Gospel. Now, there's one component of the Kingdom Message Church, other than the Lord's Prayer, there are many God's people tell you that they will live and die on the Sermon on the Mount. In other words, they say, the Beatitude, yes, these are our directives, Jesus said it, so these are our marching orders. Well, we're going to show you today, with the help of the Lord, that if you take what Jesus said in Matthew 5 literally, you're going to be confused.
Hallelujah.
If you try to take what Jesus said in a future age and apply this to this present evil age, you'll be confused. You'll never reconcile those messages. But before we do this, let's do an intro. Go to your document, Distinctly Defining the Gospels. Amen. We're going to do a little reading here, and then we're going to analyze, and you'll see it is impossible to take what Jesus said in the Kingdom Message and you mix that with what? A grace message. Okay. I trust that everyone has a document. We'll read the first couple of paragraphs. When one considers the writings of the Bible, it is incorrect to assess all its contents into one grouping, thus labeling it all one message or one gospel. Note that the Greek word is simply rendered good news, good tidings, or a good message. Now, most will agree that there are many good messages in the Bible, but to hold the position that the Bible presents only one gospel is tantamount to saying that God has sent his elect only one conveyance of good news down through the ages. In actuality, God has revealed his good news or gospels to mankind progressively through the ages. First, he proclaimed to Adam and Eve as he placed them in the garden that they should be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. You'll find that Genesis 1:28. Next, he prophetically announced to them after the fall of Adam that the woman's seed should someday crush the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:5. It was manifested afterwards that God had predetermined that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth and that he would destroy the inhabitants thereof. But Noah and his family were granted favor, and therefore they received the good news that they would be spared in the ark, which God instructed them to abide in.
Amen.
Next, church, note that it was to Abraham that God preached or proclaimed the gospel of good news, that in him all the nations of the earth should be blessed. Genesis 12:1-3. Subsequently to this, all through the Old Testament scriptures, there is documentation of God decreeing and proclaiming more and more good news for his elect, more specifically to Israel. This entails the various covenants, Palestinian, Davidic, and New, as he spoke through the patriarchs and prophets. This culminated in the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, introduced by John the Baptist, preached by Jesus and his disciples, Luke 9:1-6, and offered by the kingdom apostles as recorded in the early chapters of the book of Acts, even though there are full implication of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was not explicitly expressed, referencing Luke 18:31-34. Now, let's stop here for a moment. Church, let's kind of use your imagination. Let's go back to history, because I've always said history is a great teacher. Adam sinned in the garden. We know the story, right? They see Adam sinned. And God stated that there would be a solution for this sin problem. And what did God do? All through the Old Testament books, God promised a future deliverer.
That's right.
Amen. You find that in every book, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy. Amen. All the books, Ezekiel, Daniel, the future deliverer was going to come. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, God promised to Abraham that this deliverer will one day through Abraham, amen, through the Messiah, which means what, deliverer of Israel. He will set up a kingdom, and this kingdom will rule for 1,000 years. The promise that God made to Abraham. So, in essence, all the God's people in the Old Testament were looking for this deliverer. And then, in manifestation, Jesus, John the Baptist, introduced what? Jesus said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." At that time, Gentiles were cut off from the workings of God. God had nothing to do with Gentiles. So don't get mad with God, the Syrophoenician woman at the time. You know, I thought before I understood covenantal and dispensational arrangements, I always thought that, and now you know, see, Paul used to say, you know, Lord, the God is perfect. Jesus is perfect. He's God, right? We know that. But he was hard on her. The Syrophoenician, Lord, all she wanted was the Lord help me. My daughter is grievous and what? That's with the devil. He's get away. I'm paraphrasing. Get away from me, girl. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, let's paraphrase. Jesus was telling this woman, this covenant does not belong to you. Yeah. And many of God's people today, they are trying to preach out of another covenant that doesn't belong to them. And when you do that, you are reading other people's mail. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And whatever's in that mail does not belong to you. The other day I received a mail, you know, sometimes you have the numbers similar, but the right street. So I received a mail from a neighbor 4 doors down. And I saw that, now whatever was in that mail, it had nothing to do with me. That was his mail. So I delivered the mail to my neighbor and said, "Thank you, Mr. Liverman." But that was not my mail. It was sent to my wrong address. But don't read other people's mail. Now, I repeat. When you're reading other parts of the Bible, it's wonderful to read it for information. It's wonderful to read Moses, Daniel, Ezekiel, to read, in fact, just last week, I was reading regarding Pharaoh and how God said, "Let my people go." Amen. So we don't say, hey, look at the faithfulness of God. Here this hard-headed late ruler, he would let him go, then God will harden his heart, and then he would change his mind. Now, if you read that from the context of Exodus, you would think that Pharaoh was controlling things. But now, if you shine the light of our gospel into what? Exodus, you see that it was God working within Pharaoh to do and to will of his good pleasure. But if you just read that on the surface of Exodus, just jumping there and reading it, you would think that he was controlling some things. So everything in the Bible, it has to be read from the light of what God gave to the Apostle Paul, and that is the gospel of the grace of God. Yes. Now, so in essence here, looking at the Gospels, church, we just read that the messages are different. So, when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, at that time, Gentiles were cut off from God. Notice, we know in manifestation, but we know in actualization, what church? You've always belonged to God. But see, in manifestation, it was like you were lost. But see, you read up there in the will of covenant, you're like, wow, I'm going to hell. No, but from the light of our gospel, you've always belonged to God. You were saved before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1. Yes, yes. Saved in eternity. But that's the light of our gospel. So, that kingdom gospel, Jesus came to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom that was to come. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the information that the disciples had was that he was going to set up his kingdom. How many times did they say, "Oh Lord, are you going to"? And one time they got arrogant and they said, "Lord, I want to be sitting next to you and all this." They were waiting for this kingdom. Waiting for the kingdom to come that was promised to Abraham. So you
go into the Beatitudes, Jesus is giving directions on how the kingdom is going to operate, which is a future age. And the problem of God's people, they take what's going to happen that Jesus said in the future, and you're going to apply that to this present evil age, and you're going to be confused. In fact, it will not hurt you, church. I mentioned this on Wednesday, and it will not hurt you. No, everything that Jesus said was referring to a future age, the millennium. Now, there are some principles that can corroborate and what? That they will align with our gospel. For example, Jesus said in one account, love your enemies, right? Are we to do that today? Yes. So many things in the grace contract will align with the kingdom contract and vice versa. But when you begin to read these covenants and these different dispensations and make them apply to you, like Paul tells Timothy, it will save you. It will save you from a lot of confusion. So let's look at some things here that can cause confusion if you apply the wrong test to the wrong age. Let's corroborate some things here. Let's see, in terms of another age. Now, when we read a few verses in a few scriptures in Matthew chapter 5, the famous Sermon on the Mount, because this is, again, probably more other than the Lord's Prayer, this is probably something that's more familiar to God's people than anything in the kingdom gospel, what? The Sermon on the Mount. And they'll tell you, yes, that's for us today. Well, let's see what's nice for you today. Now, we're not here for time's sake. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Again, grace gospel versus kingdom gospel. Now, we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. There's some things here. Jesus starts. D, you can go and read 1 through 5, please. Matthew 5, 1 through 5.
We're reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning verse 1, and then through verse 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek. Now, go, if you're looking at a future age that Jesus is talking to, he's talking to the Commonwealth of Israel, in a future age, does this verse make sense? Absolutely. He is saying, one day, Israel and the recipients, one day they shall inherit the whole earth. Jesus will rule from Jerusalem, and he will rule with a rod of iron. There will be no people doing wrong and you're taking 10 years to figure out, give them punishment. There will be instant retribution because all the laws will flow from Jerusalem. And Jesus and all the elect from Israel, they will inherit the earth. But today, somebody say, will we be there? Well, are you in Christ? See, we'll be there to the degree that we're in Christ. But the manifestation of that physical kingdom is for the kingdom apostles. But we're in Christ. Amen. We have something more. Amen. Now let's go to verse 8.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
That doesn't make sense today. Now, you look at, in that day, the pure in heart shall see God. Because, what, God, there are peace that rule in the earth. Peace will rule throughout the earth for 1,000 years. It will be a peaceful age, but it will not be a perfect age. Now, when you say that, people say, what are you talking about? I repeat, it's going to be a peaceful age, but it will not be a perfect age. In that day, people still be doing some crazy things. They'll be killing. They are still going to be stealing. They're going to be doing some crazy things. But righteousness will rule, like Isaiah stated, as the waters cover the sea, righteousness will be the rule of the day. Now, think about this. If this was a perfect age, would there be a need for someone to rule? Jesus Christ will rule over all wrong. But it says here, the pure in heart shall see God. That is going to bump heads with what Paul states in Romans chapter 7 when it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. All are depraved. Paul states to himself, there is now what? My flesh is what? Oh, wretched man that I am. Your heart, our heart is not what? Pure. Our heart is depraved. So that's going to bump heads with this verse that says the pure in heart. But in that future age, not now. So you're saying you're pure, and somebody said, well, I mess up. Well, hey, ask God to forgive you, move on. But when I mess up, you're depraved. It's simple. You're depraved. Amen. We are depraved, church. And that's one thing. Let me get a quick lesson. I mean, it's one thing, but that's even depravity. I talked to a friend of mine the other day that he and his wife had gone to a conference, spent $500. I said, what was that about? I wasn't judging. I was listening to them. Yeah, we spent $500. On what? Well, so how to get along, Dad? You know, I have some, we said, we have disagreements. And I said, wait a minute. You went to a conference, spent $500 on how to get along. You know what? You know one word that will settle that? Depravity. See, when I mess up, and when I mess up, you know my wife's attitude, well, you know, wait a minute, you're depraved, amen. So, no, we're not using an excuse messing up, right? But we understand that we mess up at times. So she said, well, when you're depraved, amen, you're depraved, so let me move on. And I said, when my wife messes up, I said, babe, I love you, but okay, you messed up, then you're depraved, we move on. In other words, you understand the doctrine of depravity, you mess up, you move on.
I hear you.
You move on. That the woman, don't run from God when you mess up. Run to Jesus. Run to his name. Say, Lord, forgive me. But I thank God there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. And don't say, who wrote my eyes for flesh? The translator added that because it was too powerful. It was too controversial to say there's no condemnation. Period. To those in Christ Jesus. None, period.
None.
So I thought, to the brother, man, I could have gone into the dollar store and bought you a $2, give you a $10 Bible. Understand the depravity. You didn't spend $500. That's it. I tell you, God, Paul's writings, the gospel of the grace of God, is a liberating gospel, church. Amen. So in essence, what we're saying here, if you just say, I'm going to live by Matthew 5, and I repeat, thank God for the Beatitudes, but it's for a future age. And when you take what Jesus said literally and try to fit that to today, it's not somebody,
you wear your size, your shoe size a 9, And you made a statement about a 7. You can turn that shoe all you want. You can turn that. We've been there. You try to put a stretching in it and say, hey, what's wrong? The person that bought a shoe says, versus so the shoes. Listen, you just got the wrong. You trying to make this thing fit.
Get the right shoe. Buy the right shoe. And then you don't have a problem. Stay in your contract. Stay in your gospel. And you won't have all this problem, all this confusion. Stay in your gospel.
Let's go back here. All right. Oh, Lord. Let's go back to the document. Back to the document. 1, 2, fourth paragraph in the document. But during all this, God had a secret, a hidden message. Yes, good news, indeed, even the best news. Here, this is a reference to the gospel of the grace of God, as revealed to the Apostle Paul for the dispensation age of grace. In focusing on this gospel,
observe that it is primarily concentrated on the body of Christ, the church, with its having a calling and position. Note that not one word of this gospel can be found in the writings of prophecy. Indeed, God kept this secret purpose a secret until he implemented the manifestation of the body of itself, as expressed in the 16th chapter of Romans, verses 25, wherein Paul states that this gospel was kept secret since the world began. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul refers to it as a mystery that was ordained before the word unto our glory. In Ephesians 3:5, Paul documents that in other ages it was not made known. In Ephesians 3:9, Paul states, from the beginning of the world, it was hid in God. In Colossians 1:26, Paul states that our gospel was hid from ages and from generations. So manifestly, there is a great difference between that which was spoken by the mouth of all of God's prophets since the world began and that which was kept secret since the world began. Thus, there is a great contrast between the kingdom gospel, which outlines the implementation of Old Testament prophecy, as well as the messianic future age to come. In distinction from the grace gospel, which details the revelation of the grace mystery truth. Now it should be clear that God's plan to establish the messianic kingdom was no secret to the Jews in the time of Christ's ministry on earth. Note that the kingdom or kingdom gospel is the very theme of Old Testament prophecy and is described there in great detail. And we'll look at some of these principles a little later, but let me go back to something. Let's say something. You see, there are many times, remember, we stated that the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel are two different messages. I've heard many times people say, oh, why are y'all making a big deal of all these different messages? They'll tell you, Peter, James, and John, Matthew, Bartholomew, they'll tell you, they all preach the same thing that Paul teaches. Paul preached, deep. Ella, wait a minute. The kingdom apostles preach. Now, we will say one thing in common. Both gospels, the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But here's the difference. The kingdom apostles preach Jesus Christ according to prophecy. The grace apostles, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Lydia, they preach Jesus Christ according to mystery. And there are two different demarcations of God's working. Jesus Christ according to prophecy and Jesus Christ according to mystery. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is one day God is going to deliver Israel. In the grace gospel, God has already delivered Israel. You are already delivered. You were delivered before the foundation of the world. In the kingdom gospel, one day Israel is going to be saved. In the grace gospel, you were saved in eternity. Two different messages, church. What did Paul say? What did Paul tell Timothy? Timothy, teach this. Teach this. In one account, he said, and don't teach anything else. He said, Timothy, teach this and don't teach anything else. Now see, first, let's qualify this now. First things, see, there are a plethora of scriptures that tell you what Jesus did for us in terms of in eternity. But one thing we're not saying, church, don't read the Bible. Don't read those other writers. Never said that. But here's the problem. When Paul tells Timothy, you know what Deacon Gavin just read? He knows the word doctrine. When you read the other parts of the Bible, don't read the other parts of the Bible for doctrine. That's where you can blow it. Many accounts in Paul's writings, he referred to Abraham, he David, he referred to Isaiah. So Paul referenced the Old Testament prophets, but he all referenced them. He referenced them through the lenses, through the camera lens of what God did for us, the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yes, so you can go to Abraham. Read Abraham. You'll find, see, you read to Abraham, you say, wow. Man, Abraham, excuse the language, I'm going to say it. Abraham was a liar. His son. Isaac was a liar. That was, you know, they're talking about the gene pool. That was a weakness in that family tree. Jacob was a liar. Somebody said, Jacob, what are you lying? Look at my grandfather. Hello. But the reason I say this, you learn. Now, you can go there. You're not going to go there and teach nothing. You teach from the standpoint of our contract. But you can go there. You can say, Lord, look at the long suffering of God. To put up with us. David, I mean, everything. I love David. Oh, yeah, you do? Man, David had an affair with this lady. He said, I tell you, I got to cover this thing up. Yeah. Put the man out there on the front battle line. Y'all are sorry. I said, get him there. He manipulated, doing all this crazy stuff. Okay, I got to hide this. You know, put the man, put the man out in the front so you what? Kill him. So when you read the other, parts of the Bible, read it from the standpoint of God's grace and mercy endures forever. In spite of my faults, in spite of my weaknesses, God still loves me. I got to read one more. Let me close. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. See, you're taking this out of context, church. And you take the word of God, you take it out of context, that's when God's people get in trouble. Matthew 5, read 39 through 42. Read 39 through 42. We're still in the Beatitudes. That some of God's people are convinced that, no, Jesus said that, so I'm going to live by Jesus. This is for me. Oh, yeah? Let's see. 39 through 42.
Now we're reading from the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning verse 39, King James Version. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Yeah.
And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have that cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
Okay. Now let's put this in context, church. Some of y'all are laughing already, because you know what? See, you all have knowledge. Some of y'all, my spirit senses that you're saying, you know what? That can't be. Why? Because you have the knowledge of this grace of our what? Our God.
Right.
Our gospel.
Right.
A lot of God's people don't have this knowledge. And what the one account Paul says, consider what I say. Not what I say, but the Spirit. Consider what the Spirit is saying. We're on the vessels. Consider what the Spirit is saying, and the Lord give thee understanding. Understanding can only come from the Holy Spirit. In context, what Deacon Gavin just read is that when people, I'm going to paraphrase this, but what the Spirit is saying is that when people try to use you and try to put the wool over your eyes, it'll all work out. Yes, it will work out in that future peaceful age. Somebody come against God's people and try to do some crazy, it just said here, they will be suing in that day. Now, in the kingdom, why would Jesus say, if they sue thee at the law, if it was a perfect age? So they'll still be doing those things, but if they were to sue you and do all these, and they ask you, give me everything you got. You can do that because that would be an age of prosperity. And if you were to do that, yes, you would be rewarded immediately because he said, whatever they ask, give it to them. But you cannot do that in this present evil age. Just give everything away, just do everything. Now, by the way, we believe in giving, right? We know that. Giving is part of grace. But the law in this present evil age, if you just try to what? People will put the wood on your eyes. There was an account about 2 months ago. It may be still going on. Some of you may have heard of this. There was a lady, a nanny in California. Some of you may have heard it. I mean, the people did right things. They did what they did. They did a background check.
But apparently this nanny has a mental illness. She took care of these two small girls. You know, she lived in the house. But what happened, apparently she had mental illness. She locked herself in the room and stayed there all day. So they said, no, it's time for you to go. But there was some kind of clause in the agreement that she left the house, but her garments, her clothes were still there, and they, by law, they couldn't do anything. But people try to use you, church. They'll try to do anything. They would do anything if you, what? Just let people, you're not to let people just run over you. Amen. That's what we're saying. Sometimes you have to, in fact, sometimes you have to, amen. Sometimes you have to go a legal route. So about a few years ago, someone, we had signed a contract, and the person made a mistake, and they just sent us all these letters. I said, this is not right. They did us wrong. Huh? We live in this present evil age. People try to put the wool over your eyes. So I called my attorney, and they saw the letter. I had eight attorneys' name on the letterhead. When they got that letter, they said, oh, Mr. Lippman, we're sorry for the internet confusion. We'll take care of this. They took care of it after I threatened to go to the legal route, right? People out there live in this present evil age. And we're not saying that every time somebody brings on you soon. We don't. See, Paul had a problem in his day. The Corinthian church, they say, Paul said, don't sue. Wait a minute. Let's analyze what Paul said. The Corinthian church was very carnal. They were suing each other, doing some crazy carnal stuff. Paul said, wait a minute. If you have a disagreement with your brother or sister, try to work this out within yourself. That's what Paul was saying. Don't just go out in the legal system. Try to work it out in a spirit of love. Yeah, yeah. But he's not saying in this present evil age that you would have just let somebody run ripshod over you. Amen. What he is saying is this, and I close in this. The grace gospel is a liberating gospel. It liberates us from a lot of confusion, a lot of heartache, because it's a liberating gospel. And in closing, baptism is one that church is all confused on. In the kingdom gospel, I made this last statement. In the kingdom gospel, they were told to go and baptize. In the kingdom gospel, go and baptize. In the grace gospel, Christ sent me not to baptize. One, go and baptize. The other, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, let's close on this. In the grace gospel, the disciples were commanded to go and baptize. In the kingdom gospel, in the grace gospel, we'll close on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We'll close on this verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Because of all the writings, of all the different things, today, people are fussing and fighting over baptism. How are you baptized? Are you baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ, or in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Now, remember, our gospel clears up a lot of confusion. Now, Deacon Gaddis, and close on this one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Read this in the King James and in the Greek. Read King James first. Yeah, we have to read this in the Greek. Because the King James will throw you off if you stop with the King James.
Mm-hmm. We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, from the King James Version. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Notice, from historical history, church, what's happening? Paul write the letter. There were baptisms going on. So what happened? When the King James brethren wrote this, they stated, well, people are getting baptized, so you were baptized into Christ. So by one Spirit are ye baptized. But they saw something in the original Greek that was too intimidating. Now let's read this in the original Greek.
Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, from the interlineal Greek text. For indeed, by one Spirit, we all into one body were baptized.
Were baptized. Kingdom gospel are baptized because the kingdom gospel is focused on time. The grace gospel were baptized because the grace gospel is focused on eternity. And by the way, church, that word baptized is a aorist indicative. It is a past completed fact that you were baptized. Now somebody says, well, how were you baptized? Well, in fact, let me say this. I mentioned some Wednesday. The grace gospel church believe in baptism.
Yes.
I say it again. The grace gospel church believe in baptism. But it depends on what kind of baptism is it? It is what? Spiritual. By one Spirit were we baptized. And that word were, church, baptism only means identification. When were you identified with Christ? When he chose you in eternity, you were identified with him. When they were baptized in water, when they went down in the water in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, or in Jesus, whatever the commands were at that time, they were the kingdom apostles, were baptized in water as testimony to the fact that they identified with the kingdom gospel. God baptized us, you and I, all of us in eternity via identification, that we identify with the grace gospel and what God did for us in eternity. Kingdom gospel, physical. Grace gospel, spiritual. Kingdom gospel, water baptism. Grace gospel, spiritual baptism. So the key, the essence of what Paul writes to Timothy, you will save yourself from confusion, save yourself from heartache, save yourself from frustration. I know, I've been there, and the more I grew in grace, the more it burned in my heart that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God.
Hallelujah.